Okay, let's try this again. What? Okay, I've had it. Something's really messed up with my laptop. I'm going to reboot it. What's going on? Yeah, well, you'll find out. Responding to that. Okay, so where does this go? I may click the wrong one. We're going to have to do something really drastic here. This thing is coming back to life. Okay. You guys remember we were talking about gamma, and it was always had a magnitude less than one. Okay, so let's see, where's, there we go. Looks like we can kind of find this glass here. Yeah, I want Zn to be an element of the real number. Yeah, it's going to be some constant plus J0. Right.
Wait, some constant plus J0.
Oh dear, did I not download the pictures? Oh, rats. Well, here, let's do that. It's so disgusting. Why do I have to forget stuff like that? So this would have been the 16th, and I need this one. Did I do the digital control ones?
I don't know. I didn't look for those yet.
Let's see, 16, 16, 16, 16. Okay, hold on, I can put this down here. Oh, rats. Okay. Photo. Okay, where is this tool? Yes.
What if I hit larger? Because look at the scale. It's like 10 and 5 and
4. You're low. Your base is low.
Greg's actually Pinocchio, but his face is logarithmic.
So, it's true. You know what Mark tell means to you?
What did Mark tell you?
He didn't say anything. The only thing he said was, you know. I need.
You knew you'd been talking about it?
Yeah.
Okay, did that work?
Okay. In a minute, we can reload this thing and see what we've got here.
Made some joke about your mom, and I was like, it's like Carlos.
Okay, well, we haven't got them all yet, but we got some of them. 16. When I remember last day what we'd done, we'd come up with this gamma, which was the reflection, right? It's the thing that comes back when you send something down. It's a ratio, the kind of the transfer function for the V minus divided by V plus. By the way, I got this upside down. Look at this. This should be V minus over V plus, not V plus over V minus. Anyway, so much for that. Okay.
All right.
Here, fix it right here, equals V minus of Z divided by V plus of Z.
You have it right?
Yeah, no, I can't write. Anyway, so it's the transfer function for the reflected wave from the incident wave. And it really, any kind of a situation like this where you have some kind of a passive thing on the end, it's always going to have a magnitude less than 1, okay, as long as there's just some ZL on the end. And that happens actually in a lot of cases, so we want to look at that carefully. And the interesting thing that Mr. Smith noticed was that this magnitude is less than 1, okay? And the cool thing about that is you can plot it on a piece of paper, the whole thing. Right? Because it has a limited radius, right? It just becomes a circle, right? So here's the circle. I'll try to draw a circle. Not so great, but. So the idea is this thing here is the real part of gamma of Z. And this thing right here is the imaginary part of gamma of Z, and this right here being 1 and minus 1 and minus J and plus J here, you know, the whole gamma can be plotted there, right? Any possible gamma with a passive load on the end. So if we look at that, then we could actually plot on this picture, we could plot what the impedances are, right? That means we could take this equation right here and we could solve it for Z normalized, that Z is a function of what gamma is, and whatever we got, you know, we'd get a number. It would be a complex number. So every point on here would have a complex number that corresponded to a Z normalized of Z, right? Remember, Z normalized of Z was equal to Z of Z divided by Z zero, which was 1 plus gamma of Z divided by 1 minus gamma of Z, and we did this algebra last day. So what I mean is I could plot every one of those guys right there, okay? So if I do that, here's what I'm going to do. This is the loci right there of everywhere on this circle. This Z normalized of Z, I'm going to define it as R normalized plus JX normalized. Okay? It has a real and imaginary part. And this is the loci of R normalized equals 1 plus JX normalized. In other words, you can change X from minus infinity to infinity. Here it is at plus infinity. X is plus infinity right there. And as you move X negative, here it is at 0. This is 1 plus J0 right here. This is Z normalized equals 1 plus J0 right there. Okay. and it goes down to x negative down here, right? Okay, so that's the loci of r normalized equals 1 plus jx, and you know, you can just plot these, just pick a z normalized, right? Pick a z normalized right here, and just plot whatever you get for gamma, right? You plot it, you get this. And if I plot the loci of, this is the loci right here, it's also a circle. This is the loci of z normalized equals r normalized plus j1, okay? And this one right here is the loci of z normalized equals r normalized plus or minus j1, minus j1. And then what is this point right here? What is that? What is that? What's that? What's the z normalized there? Zero. It's the intersection of the points where r normalized equals 1 plus jx something, right? And the intersection of z normalized equals some r plus minus j1.
1
minus j, right? Does that make sense? So this point right here is z normalized equals 1 minus j. Okay? In other words, it's just like any other graph. You know, you find where the intersection of the real and the imaginary part is. You read off the real part. That's the real part. You meet off the imaginary part. That's the imaginary part, right? I mean, you know, if I ask you, what was the gamma right here? You'd say the gamma was 0 plus j, right? You read off the real part, it was 0, right? Imaginary part was j, right? Same kind of thing, right? Does that make sense? Okay, cool. Now, actually, there's a whole family of circles that goes like this, right? And here would be one right here. This would be like probably... instead, it would be r normalized equals a half plus jx, you know, this one right here. This is r normalized plus j one half. And there's a whole family of circles that go around like this, too. This outer circle right here, the outer circle, is that how you spell outer? Is it one T or two?
Two.
One T? Yeah, it didn't look quite right. Outer circle. That's going to be Z normalized equals 0 plus JX normalized. Okay? And this, there's all these circles like this, right? And this is actually this one right here going along right here. That is a circle of infinite radius, okay? And that circle, or this line right here, is z normalized equal, what would you guess? What's that line right there? Some real part, okay, r normalized plus what? J0, right? Because you see, up here is positive j for the z, and down here is minus j for the... And so that's the...
Yeah.
Okay. Great. So now we've been able to map all the impedances on there, right? Now this gamma of z, I'm gonna erase this, here, gamma is also equal to gamma sub l times e to the j 2 beta z. And this, of course, is lossless. Okay, otherwise you'd have an alpha in there, right? But it looks like that. And gamma sub L, of course, is gamma at the load, and it's going to have a magnitude of gamma sub L, e to the j, I'll call it phi sub L or something. It's the angle, you know. Yeah, so many Greek letters. So let's suppose we had a thing like this, okay? This was Z0 equals 50 ohms. And this guy right here, I'm going to make him, yeah, I'm going to make him 50 plus J 50. Okay. And I'll make this the z-axis right here. Here's z equals 0. Okay. And, you know, back here is some z equals, you know, this is z equals some minus d. And some minus d. And remember this, maybe I erase this one more time. This is gamma, magnitude of gamma sub L now, e to the j, and then I've got 2, and then beta. Remember, beta was equal to 2 pi over lambda, right? So when I take 2 times that, it's e to the j 4 pi over lambda. And then I put in z, and then I have to put in plus the phi sub L, yeah, of the load. Okay, and then I guess I can put my parentheses back on there. Okay. So if I was to plot this gamma, what would the gamma at the load be? Gamma at the load. How would I find that? Okay, well, there's several ways we could do it. We could do it analytically, okay, which is really kind of easy. You just, you know, find z normalized. What is z normalized? Did I write that here? Z of z divided by z zero, right? So what is z normalized right at z equals 0?
The load.
Well, yeah, the load. What is it? What? Right at least, no. The z, this is the z, 50 plus j 50, right? And I divide that by z zero, right, to get z normalized. So I could say z normalized, z load normalized equals 50 plus j 50 divided by z zero, which is 50, and that equals 1 plus j. Okay. Okay. So at the load, the gamma is this thing right here, because here's 1 plus j right here, right? That's 1 plus j. And so this is, that's gamma sub L. Okay? Does that make sense? Because, you know, I could, if you want to, I could plug this into this guy right here, right? And you would get, you know, this thing here at that angle there if you just do it. Okay? This is a one-to-one mapping between the gamma right here and the z-normalized. Okay, you got the z-normalized, it nails down what the gamma is, right? I mean, that's how we got the gamma in the first place, you know. We basically said, you got a wave coming down here, right? You know, ratio v plus to v minus is z-zero. It hits the end. Now we have to change the ratio to be the z-load, right? So that generates a reverse-going wave. How do we find out what that has to be? Well, you know, we looked at the boundary condition there, and we came up with this formula, basically, right? Okay, so in that case, what I'd like to know is what happens to the z as I move back down this direction, okay? As I move back down to, you know, maybe z equals minus d. So what happens here if you look at this thing right here, this is gamma of z, you know, it's gamma of z, right? Once I, if I know what gamma of z is, I know what z of z is, right? Z normalized of z is, right? And if I know z normalized of z and I know z zero, then I know z of z, right? Okay, so what happens is I move z. Z is going to change. It's a negative number. It's minus d, some d, right? Minus some number. So if I put in a negative number here, what happens? Well, if I put in zero, I'm right here at this blue dot, right?
Yes.
Now, what happens when I put in a negative number? What kind of a path does that trace out on this Smith chart thing here? Well, the magnitude of gamma is still going to be this, right? It didn't change when I changed z. The magnitude of gamma stayed the same, right?
Yes.
So what does that mean? Well, that means I have to be on a circle of the same radius here, right? 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 I mean, so I know I can't go off that. It's got to be on this circle right here, right? So now, which way does it go? Does it go this way or does it go that way? Goes. Okay, here. We'll think about it, and then we'll have a little vote. Which way does it go? When I'm moving in this direction down the line, which way does this vector turn? It either turns that way, or it stays right where it is, right? I mean, it's got to be on that circle somewhere, right? Clockwise. Let's see. Clockwise is this way, right? This is the way the clock goes. We can watch it over here. Oops, except the battery's dead.
I think so.
Clockwise?
I feel like it should be clockwise, but then that means that the real part of the impedance goes down. Or increasing.
This is good. I have four of the best students in the engineering department puzzling about this. This is a great thing.
Hillary.
Yeah, Hillary knows because she's done it before. You would think, right?
So.
Yeah. Well, hold it. You guys like to look things up, right?
Yeah.
Well, look at your Smith chart. Read your Smith chart. I don't know if it got the part that you need got chopped off or not, but if you had the whole thing there, the answer would be there. I mean, I could show you the whole thing up here so you could let's see. Assuming my computer, why is it doing this? It's graying everything out. Not letting me do a thing. That's what it was doing when I was trying to print Smith charts. I hope my disk drive isn't going bad or something.
So this is as we go down the line.
Yeah, as we go down the line towards the generator, in other words, we're going in the negative z direction, right? As z gets more negative, which way does it turn? You guys think clockwise, right? You can't.
Generator.
I think so too, but like what Dawson said, the real part.
Yeah, both of them, real and imaginary part, are changing.
Yeah.
Changes either way.
I think it's
got. Well, okay, let's try and help here. Okay, so let's look at, what is this angle right here? What is that angle?
Some angle.
That is what? Is that this angle?
Yes.
That's V sub L, right? You agree? This is the magnitude of gamma, right? Magnitude of gamma sub L is this distance here, right? And that's the angle of gamma sub L, right? Isn't that the way it works? Okay. And as this thing, if I make phi sub gamma, I mean, phi sub, whatever it is, phi sub L, if I make that bigger, it's going to move it this direction, right?
Yeah.
But if I make it smaller, right, it's going to go this direction, right?
Yeah.
And I'm making it smaller by making z negative here, right?
Yeah.
So it goes this way. You all agree now?
Yeah.
Okay. You're right. You just need a little more confidence, right? Okay. So what I'm saying is that this direction is, this is the generator is on this end, and this is the load on this end, right? So going this way is toward the generator. And it should say that on your Smith chart. Well, I don't know.
It doesn't.
There's
an arrow going this way.
Right, what does it say?
It doesn't. Now it says toward generator, but it didn't before.
Oh, I gave you guys a crummy Smith chart. Most Smith charts say that. My apologies. It's all because of my computer problems this morning, which look like they're persisting. It's still gray up there. At least you can still see the picture when it's gray. Okay, so that's towards the generator, and in that case, this is going to be towards the load, right? So this is increasing Z, decreasing Z. Okay, now, suppose I wanted to go, what if D was... What if D was say minus lambda over 4, okay? How far would I turn on this Smith chart? If I went from, you know, this point right here, and then I went back here and D was minus lambda over 4, I mean Z was minus lambda over 4, what would that give me? How far would I go on this, how far around the circle here would I go? What, a quarter of the way? Oh. So here it is. It's 4 pi over lambda times z. So 4 pi over lambda times z, which was lambda over 4, negative lambda over 4.
Yeah, 180 to
minus pi, right?
It'll go straight across from
me. Yeah, so that would mean one turn around the whole thing is a half a wave. Half a turn is a quarter wavelength, right? So one turn around the chart is lambda over 2. Okay, so half a turn, we'd end up right here. Okay, if we were over here, if you were to follow this guy along here, I'm betting this would be on the j equals minus a half, and probably this guy right here would be on the the real part equals a half. So I'm betting this is 1/2 minus j 1/2 for the z normalized. I'm guessing. You can look on your chart if you want. And I don't know how much you guys can look at complex numbers and tell me what's, you know, just recognize that. But actually, 1/2 minus j 1/2 is actually 1 over 1 plus j 1, right? I mean, if you do 1 over 1 plus j, that equals, if I multiply top and bottom by the complex conjugate, I get 1 minus j on the top, and I get 2 right here, right? Which is 1/2 minus j 1/2. Now that's interesting. I went from here to there, and it took 1 over that, right? I wonder if we could figure out why that happened. So let's, 1 over z normalized would be y normalized, right? Right? So 1 over z normalized of z will equal y normalized. I don't know how I write y normalized. I guess I'll just say yn of z. Okay, so if that's the case, I could write gamma as a function of z. I could write it in terms of y normalized too, right? I could put 1 over y normalized, that's z normalized, right? And then I've got minus 1 over 1 over y normalized of z plus 1, right? I just plugged in what z normalized was, right? So now if I multiply by y normalized, right, over y normalized, I get 1 minus y normalized of z over 1 plus y normalized of z, right? Interesting. It's kind of like, it's the same thing as I had for z, except it's negative that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is actually, if I took gamma of z, which is a function of, I'll just say z normalized of z. Gamma is a function of z normalized of z. And I replace z normalized of z to y normalized of z. Right?
Yeah.
I get minus gamma of z. Right? Or let's just look at y of z, y normalized of z. Y normalized of z equals y of z divided by y zero, which is really 1 over y zero is like z zero, right? Which is like z zero times divided by z of z, right? Which is equal to z zero divided by, and z of z was z zero times 1 plus gamma of z divided by 1 minus gamma of z, right? And the z zeros cancel, and this will be 1 minus gamma of z divided by 1 plus gamma of z, and that equals 1 minus gamma sub l, and that's e to the j, magnitude of gamma sub l, e to the j. What was it? It's 2 beta z or 4 pi over lambda. 4 pi over lambda z plus phi sub l. Just plugging in from up there, right? Over 1 plus magnitude of gamma sub l e to the j 4 pi over lambda z plus gamma, oh, not gamma, phi sub l. Phi sub l. Now, if you take y normalized of z and you replace z, goes to z plus or minus lambda over 4. That means halfway around the Smith chart, right? Either I went plus, that's this way, or I went that way, right? What's going to happen? Well, if I take that, that would be this thing. If I change z to that thing, so I'd have 1 minus magnitude of gamma e to the j, I've got 4 pi over lambda, and then I put z plus or minus lambda over 4, plus phi sub gamma, or phi sub, is that what it is? Phi sub l, I guess. Okay. I do the same thing on the bottom. 1 plus magnitude of gamma l e to the j, 4 pi over lambda, and then z plus or minus lambda over 4. Well, what happens is this e to the j, 4 pi over lambda times lambda over 4, what does that do? That gives me an e to the j pi in there, right? Which, e to the j pi is negative 1, right?
Yes.
So this is 1 plus gamma of z over 1 minus gamma of z, which is z normalized of z. So, in other words, to switch, if this is y normalized of z, I can get z normalized here, or if this is z normalized, I can get y normalized there. Okay? So maybe this doesn't make a big deal for you guys because you got fancy calculators. You just push 1 plus j1, 1 over x, and you got the answer, right? Well, you know, this wasn't quite so easy in the old days. You had to do, you know, a little bit of arithmetic or algebra to get the, you know, to do 1 over a complex number. But it's actually quite handy because, you know, if I know what the admittance is and I want to know what the impedance is, I just pop over here and it's, you know, pretty fast, okay? And it's all of the same picture. So that's useful for like putting things in series and parallel. You know, if I had a couple things in parallel, admittances add in parallel, and then I had something in series, I could add that, you know, change it to impedance, and then, you know, add that in series, and, you know. So that's useful. So what this Smith chart allows you to do is it allows you to visualize what's going on with the impedance as a function of z as you move down the line, okay? Like, say, for example, we took this one right here, right? We started out at 1 plus j. You can see the impedance. The real part of the impedance is as you go in this direction right here, it's getting bigger, okay? Because, by the way, right over here, this little point right here is infinity, right? That would be infinity. And it might be plus or minus j infinity or plus or minus, you know, it's infinity. I don't know whether it's multiplied by j or what, you know. Like if I'm coming in on this line right here, it's 1 plus j infinity, right? I mean, coming in on this line right here, it's 1 plus j infinity, or that one would be 0 plus j infinity as it hits there, right? If I come in on this line right here, it's just regular infinity and no j's, right? If I come in on this one, it's going to, you know, that's actually minus j infinity, right? Maybe minus j infinity and plus j infinity all wrap around to the same point. Who knows? Doesn't matter. It's kind of like we're on a gigantic ball, right? And the opposite end of the ball is infinity. And you can get there any direction you want, but you still get there, and that's kind of like this point here, right? So you can see what happens as you move down here. You can see the real part getting bigger, right? This is where the real part will be maximum at this point, right here. The imaginary part is zero there. Then as you move back down here, the imaginary part starts getting negative, you know, and over here, you know, when you're right here, you get some number, some real impedance. And over here, you're going to get 1 over that real impedance, right? So, you know, as you move around here, you can, you know, get some different things. Now, suppose I wanted to find a place on this circle, this blue circle here, that was had a real part, there's actually two places on there, a real part of 1, the normalized admittance, the real part was 1. Where are those two points? So where is the real part 1 on this blue circle here?
Where
there's two points where the real part is 1. Where? It's right here, right? Well, right at the load. Right? And the other point is right here, right? Because everywhere on this circle, the real part is 1, right? Okay. And I intersected that circle twice. So, you know, here it's 1 plus j, and here it's 1 minus j, right?
Oh.
Okay. Does that make sense? Now, where on this circle right here is the real part of the admittance 1? Yeah, it would be, when gamma's pointing this way, there's the admittance right there, right? So here would be, and here would be, the two places where the admittance is 1, right? Now, if you want to, you can say, look, in fact, sometimes they print Smith charts like this. They'll print, you see where all the black lines I've got, they would all be in red, and then they'd have
circles like this one right here would be the admittances one on this circle right here, right? They just took this whole circle and rotated 180 degrees, right? So if you take the whole Smith chart, they rotated 180 degrees and print that in blue, then you don't even have to go across the chart. You just switch from red to blue and you've got your admittance, okay? Does that make sense? Right, yeah, I mean, it does make kind of a busy picture, but you know, the other thing you can do if you want to is you can say, look, I know what the admittance is. I mean, this whole thing, we've been drawing it in terms of impedance, right? But I could do the whole thing in terms of admittance, and this would be the admittance was 1 plus J1 instead of the impedance being 1 plus J1, right? Yeah. And then, you know, it's kind of like I just took this chart and rotated 180 degrees, you know. Does that make sense? So, we're out of time. But next day, we'll actually do some problems with the Smith chart, kind of like these were easy ones for you to do here, but we'll do some more difficult ones that are more fun. Yeah. Yeah, so many circles. Yeah.